you're listening to audio from the West End Community Church in McGregor, Manitoba.
Last week we shared a little bit about, during the prayer time, we shared a little bit about Jerry Rempel, Bill Rempel, his son, and he was admitted to the hospital. And so there's been a little bit of new information that has come up that I just wanted to read for you. Bill wanted just to make sure that you knew what was happening. So Jerry's condition has improved a lot since, and maybe some of you don't know this, but Jerry actually did have a stroke. And so Jerry's condition has improved a lot since he had the stroke, but there are effects from the stroke. He has some numbness on his left side, face, arm, and leg, and the eye, one of his eyes doesn't focus yet when he wants to look to the left. He has to turn his head to the left. He can walk, though he is a bit wobbly, but he is in good spirits, and he's trusting in the Lord to accomplish his purpose. So we'll try to keep you apprised of how Jerry is doing, and if I could just ask each and every one of you to pray for Jerry and for Connie, and also for Bill as he supports his family. Well, it's been a good morning, hasn't it? It's always encouraging when we see people take steps of obedience to the Lord. It's a highlight. It should be. And so I sort of feel like I don't need to say much. And I know that that is probably your prayer as well. as it is already past, but I have, you are what is called a captive audience. So I am going to I know I've used this joke before, but as Henry VIII said to his fifth wife, I won't keep you long. Yes. You know, that passage that Matt read for us, there's some things that we can link baptism to in there. It's a fantastic story. It's one of my favorites in the whole entire Bible, is the people of Israel, or what will soon be Israel, but the people, God's chosen people, entering into the promised land for the very first time. Other than the spies, that portion of scripture in Joshua chapter 3, Joshua chapter 4, when God says, finally, after 40 years, finally it's time, enter into the new land. And they do it in spectacular fashion. The Jordan River at flood stage, it dries up, and the entire nation of God's people walk across dry land. It's an amazing story. It's just one of many, many amazing stories in the Bible, but there are some important things that we can kind of parallel with what we have seen today through these five candidates and this story in Joshua chapter 3 and Joshua chapter 4. So if you wouldn't mind, just indulge me just for a few minutes. Turn back in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 3 and 4. And I want to just give you three things. I just want to give you three kind of lessons, I think, that we can take home as we have witnessed five people taking this step of obedience. Three things from this portion of scripture that I just want to highlight. So Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5 is where we'll start. Before we just read, would you just pray with me? Heavenly Father, what a good day it has been, and I thank you for Netha and Olivia and Shelby. I thank you for Robert and Ethan for their courage this morning to tell us their story, and then to step into this tank in obedience to you and to say, I am one of yours. That's remarkable. And so, Father, I pray that this would be something that not only they remember, but that we remember. And Father, I pray that you would remind us to pray for them as they move on from this day. And Lord, we just pray that as we look in your word together this morning, that you would just richly bless our time and speak to us very clearly what it is that you would have us see from your truth and your word this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So God's people cross the Jordan River and enter into the new land to take what God has promised. And in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5, this remarkable verse says, Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. In the NIV, I think it says, for the Lord will do amazing things among you. And that word, consecrate there, is really, really important. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves. Consecrate is a word that means holy. It means set apart. And Joshua was telling the people that God was going to do something remarkable. He was going to do something amazing. And he wanted them to make sure that they were a part of it. And so just let me give you three things. The first lesson that I want you to just kind of remember in your minds or write down or whatever is that God moves in amazing ways when his people trust and obey. God moves in amazing ways when his people trust and obey. I mean, God loves to show his strength. Make no mistake about it. He loves that. He loves to show his glory, and he moves in amazing ways when his people take the time to trust and to obey him. Joshua was telling them that you need to set yourself apart, that you need to make sure that your relationship is right, that you are set apart not for your own glory, but for the glory of God. To make sure that your life is in a good place. You need to do that, Joshua told them, because when God does something amazing, you are going to have a part to play. And the Israelites were being called on to do really two things. They were being called on to trust God and to obey him. Trust and obey. They needed to trust and obey by doing something that actually, initially, if you just read it, if you just listen to the instructions, it sounds a bit crazy, right? It started with the leaders. The leaders and the priests in that passage in chapter 3 and 4, the leaders and the priests were to take up the Ark of the Covenant, and they were to march down to the river. And this was a large river at the time. I don't know how large, but it specifically says in the scripture that it was flooding, that it was at flood stage. This river was swift. And so they were supposed to march down with a priceless artifact, the Ark of the Covenant, their most holy remnant. That was the thing that they protected the most, right? Well, God told them, march down to the river. And not only march down to the river, but march into the river. Look at verse 8. Chapter 3, verse 8. As for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. Not by the Jordan, in the Jordan. You know what God's saying there? He's saying, when you trust and when you obey, when you step out in faith, when you put your feet to your faith, I am going to do something amazing. He does not say, when you see me cut off the flow to the river and you see dry ground in front of you, head on down there. That's not what he says. He says, walk into the river. Get your feet wet. When you step on in faith, that's when I'm going to do something amazing. And God moves in amazing ways. God moves in wondrous, remarkable ways when his people trust and obey. And when you look through scripture, that's a pattern. God often calls his people to be holy, to be set apart, to be consecrated, because he wants to do something amazing in their lives. Their part, the people of God, the Israelites, their part was to be spiritually ready and to be obedient, to do what God told them to do. Now, I need to be clear here. This does not mean that God doesn't call us to just dream up crazy things to do, and we do it in the name of God, and we hope that God's going to show up and bail us out. I mean, so I'm not telling you to go bungee jumping tomorrow or whatever, but I don't know if you can make a spiritual application to that, but we aren't to just decide to go and do things and hope that God is going to show up. We are to hear the word of the Lord. In our case, we listen to the word of God. We spend time in the word ourselves. We read it. And when we know what God says that he wants, then we set ourselves apart. We step out in faith. We trust and obey. It's the reason why we're here today. Because these five candidates for baptism, these people that you are here to support and to celebrate, they have done exactly that. They have trusted and they have obeyed. They have read the word of God. They have heard what God is saying to them, and they have stepped out in faith to respond. Many of you have done the same thing. Think about it. When we trust and when we obey, God promises to do amazing things. And I'm sure many of us have those kinds of stories. Here's the second thing that I want you to see. Not only will God move in amazing ways when his people trust and obey, but God wants his people to remember his amazing deeds. He wants them to remember. So the first thing was that God moves in amazing ways. But God also wants his people, you and me and the Israelites, he wants them to remember his amazing deeds. Look at skip down to chapter 4 and look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, take 12 men. Verse 1 says, when all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe of men, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. So understand the picture here. See, the priests were the ones who took the first step, right? They were carrying the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders, and they took that first step. They got their feet wet. The river dried up miraculously. It stopped, and they all walked across dry land. Now, Joshua is told to find 12 men. 12 men to find 12 big stones from the riverbed and to carry them out. And you have to ask yourself, why did he want to do that? Well, look at verse 6. It tells us exactly why. That this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you should tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, so that these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. So this was a reminder. It was a memorial. It was something that they could look to remember what God had done for them at that moment when they crossed over the Jordan. Remembering is something that we do inside of our head, and yet a memorial is something that is on the outside that helps us remember. It's a symbol of something else. Does that sound familiar? I mean, that's exactly what we have done here this morning. The Bible is very clear that God wants you to remember his mighty deeds. Psalm 105, verse 5 says this: remember the wonders that he has done. God wants his people to remember the things that he has done. So my question is, do you think that we do a good job of that? Often, I think we forget. We get so caught up in our problems. We get so caught up in our day-to-day that we forget about what God does for us, even on a daily basis, the big things and the small things. I'm not saying life is a picnic. That's not what I'm saying. We all know we face problems. But that's why we need to set up memorials, even more so. I'm not saying set up a bunch of stones, but what is it that is going to remind you of the goodness of God? What is it going to remind you of the things that God has done for you? In Mark chapter 6, God had miraculously just fed 5,000 people, 5,000 men, and then their families as well. Afterwards, if you read on in that story in Mark chapter 6, Jesus went away alone to pray, and the disciples were sent out from Bethsaida in a boat. And while they were sailing, we know the story, right? A huge storm came up, and the disciples panicked. They panicked. And we know that that was the time when Jesus, excuse me here. We know that Jesus walked on the water there, but there's Mark chapter 6, verse 52 says this: they did not remember the lesson of the loaves. I mean, it had just happened. 5,000 people miraculously fed by 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And later that day, the disciples cried out in panic because they did not remember the lesson of the loaves. God wanted them to remember what he had done so that they could trust him in the next one. They needed to remember. And remembering what God has done for you is one of the greatest things you can do if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. But sometimes we need a little bit of help because life gets us. And so we need to set up those memorials. We need to set up those stones. We need reminders. God knew the Israelites would be prone to forget what happened at the river, because life would move on for them and they were going to face some problems. So he told them to stack up some stones so that in the future they could look back and be reminded about what God had done for them. And so the application for us here in 2021 is the same. Baptism stands as a reminder. It stands as a memorial of what God has accomplished in our lives already. Not just in these candidates' lives, but in our lives as well. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have placed your faith in him and you have asked for forgiveness of your sin, he has done that for you. He has given you new life. And what we saw here today was a testament to that. So when God acts in amazing ways, we need to remember it. So the question is, how will we do that? Sometimes we need help. Something is going to have to help us remind ourselves. The truth is, if we don't remember what God has done for us in the past, it will be extraordinarily difficult to remember or to trust him in the present or in the future. But when you see a rock pile, when you see the reminders, you can say, oh yeah, I remember what happened here. God came through. So I would ask baptism candidates, what's your rock pile today? Pastor Matt and I were thinking about that this week, and we have certificates that we want to give you to remind you of this day. We actually have brainstormed. We're thinking of getting some T-shirts made that say West End Community Church on it, and then maybe it'll just say West End Community Church. It would be really cool if it said I got baptized or something like that. But we're going to get some T-shirts made. And we're going to give them to the candidates as well. And in a way, I was just thinking about that this morning as I was coming here. That's a rock pile. Because every time you see that T-shirt, every time you put that T-shirt on, you remember what happened that day. God wanted his people to remember his amazing deeds. There's one more thing. One more thing that I want to tell you as we close this morning. God moves, God wants, and God asks. God asks his people to retell his amazing deeds. He wants you to retell it. He wants you to say what God has done for you. Look at chapter 4 and verse 21. This is a great verse. And he said to the people, Joshua is saying to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know. Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Remembering is the first step, but your responsibility doesn't end there. Remember first, and then retell. See, God wants these memorials, these rock piles, to be passed down. God said, I want them to hear it. I want them to tell it. I want them to know that they are part of a family of faith. I want them to know unequivocally that God has come through for them. And it was not just, verse 24, I don't know if you caught that. It's not just for God's people. It says for all the people of the earth. The same rings true here today. This is a special day for Netha and for Olivia and for Shelby and Ethan and Robert. It's a special day for them. It's a special day for their families. It's a special day for all of us. This rock pile that we have created today is meant for the whole world. And we have an obligation to tell. Like the four lepers in 2 Kings chapter 7 who had good news, and they said, this is a day of good news and we cannot keep it to ourselves. These memorials, these rock piles, these baptisms that we have just celebrated are not just meant to be fond memories. They are stories that are meant to be retold. They must be retold. God works in amazing ways so that we will remember it and then we will retell it. It's not just about you. It's not just about us. It's about the whole world coming to know the God who does amazing things. And you and I get to play a part. The most amazing thing that God ever did, wasn't stopping the Jordan River. It wasn't feeding the 5,000. The most amazing thing that God ever did was send Jesus Christ to us. And it is when Jesus went to the cross and when he paid for the sins of the entire world and rose from the grave, defeating death, Jesus said, anyone who believes in me gets new life, gets eternal life. I submit that that is the most amazing thing that God has ever done. It's the most amazing deed that ever will be done. And God wants us to remember that. That's what we do when we celebrate communion. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. God wants us to remember that. We do it on days like this when people get baptized. So never forget this day. If you are here, never forget. Remember so you can retell it. Tell people that they can have their hearts cleaned. Tell people that they can have a hope for a life with the Lord. Hope for this life and for the next one. Tell people that about this hope that outlives cancer and outlives death. Tell people about the hope that can reunite broken families, about a hope that can give help people There's a hope that is strong, and it is Jesus. And God wants us to remember the amazing things that he did in Jesus. So trust and obey. Remember and retell. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, what a good day it has been. And we know that you are pleased with what has taken place here. And so, Father, I pray that you would bless Netha, bless Olivia, bless Shelby and Ethan, bless Robert. And God, I pray that as we have prayed already, that they would remember this day forever. And Lord, for the rest of us, I pray that we would remember it as well, and that it would remind us to retell about your amazing deeds, what you have done in our lives and in the lives of everyone that you call your own. And that you are not willing that any should perish. We just pray this in your precious God, holy name. Amen.